you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
I think I'm over it. Oh, I mean, J.J. Watt's injury, of course. Isn't that what everybody in Houston is talking about? Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm over it. No, almost. Maybe. No, not really. As soon as J.J. tried to stand up and walk over to the cart, I turned to my wife, Cindy, and I said, "He's done for the year." She rolled her eyes and said, "Oh, for crying out loud, you are so negative. You don't know that. He hasn't even left the field yet." I said, "Look at his face. He knows." They were feeling around on his left knee, and he knows. It's serious. He's done. In this particular instance, I really do hate to say, "I told you so, Cindy," but I told you so, Cindy. It was just the worst possible way to end what was already shaping up to be a terrible day in Houston sports, and it absolutely drained all the energy out of NRG. Ha! See what I did there? Oh, I can't even get pumped up about that one, because we're all just devastated by this, aren't we? Losing J.J. Watt doesn't mean that the Texan season is cooked. Ooh, the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show? Okay, never mind. I'll stop. No, the season isn't over. But it sure feels that way, doesn't it? Here's arguably the greatest player in the history of the franchise, and he's out for the rest of the season. For the second season in a row, no less. And let's be perfectly honest here. J.J. Watt is more than just the best player on the roster. He's the heart and soul of that roster. Heck, he's the heart and soul of the whole dadgum city. And if you think that's hyperbole, just take a quick glance over at that $37 million he raised for hurricane relief. And all he did was send out one simple little tweet. The NBC TV cameras showed fans in the stands with tears in their eyes as they carted him off the field. And NBC even stationed one of their sideline cameras in the tunnel just to show J.J. Watt crawling from the locker room to the ambulance to go to the hospital. Now, how many times have you seen that during a football game? Now, J.J. Watt is NFL royalty. No, I take that back. He's Houston royalty. And this turn of events could literally turn the whole season on a dime for this team. Now, I'm not packing it in. I'm not predicting doom and gloom. The Texans lost J.J. early in the season last year, too. They still finished 9-7. They won the division, won a playoff game. So anything's possible. But this just feels different to me. This feels like a sucker punch to the most vulnerable part of the human anatomy, or the male anatomy, I guess I should say. And you could see it. You could just feel it in the way people acted all over town all this past week. Finally, we have that quarterback we've been looking for all these years, and then this happens. Again! It just feels so fatal and final. And the sad thing is, the injury to Whitney Mercilus is just kind of being lost in the shuffle here. Stop and think about it. Between Watt, Mercilus, and Cushing, not to mention A.J. Boye going to Tennessee, this Texans defense has lost over a third of its star power since last year. I'm not quite sure how they overcome that, especially given how much Jacksonville has obviously improved over the offseason. It's going to be real interesting to see how the Texans respond to this. Like I said, it was the worst possible way to end what was already shaping up to be a horrible day in Houston sports last Sunday, because the Astros had just gotten kicked in the teeth earlier that afternoon in Boston. Now, give the Astros credit. They responded very nicely Monday afternoon. They put away the Red Sox. They're in the ALCS against the Yankees. But Sunday, that was just downright depressing. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what I texted to my old radio buddy, Fred Olson. Well, this is depressing. We'll talk to Fred later on in the show, and we'll get his take on all this. So that's enough about sports. I know. You want to hear some food talk. That is the reason we're here. And we've got a great topic of conversation today, because today is National Dessert Day. Actually, when I looked up National Dessert Day, I couldn't help but notice that Sunday is National Grouch Day. But I'm going to put that one off until tomorrow. I'm just a curmudgeon at heart, I suppose. Today is also Be Bald and Be Free Day. Of course, every day is Be Bald and Be Free Day for me. But I'm not complaining. You know, when I run into childhood friends who I haven't seen in years, like at my 50-year high school reunion a couple of months ago, they always say, "Randy, what happened to all that beautiful red hair?" Yes, I'm a ginger. I usually say, "Well, all my hair grew back inside my head and came out again in my nostrils, ears, and eyebrows." So I guess that makes me a lovable curmudgeon, too. But for the purposes of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, we're going to focus on National Dessert Day. And after last Sunday, a little comfort food is in order, don't you think? Or maybe on order? Because nothing is more comforting than a big slice of cake, or pie, or a fistful of cookies, or a big bowl of ice cream, right? You know, I love that old cliche, "Life is short, eat dessert first." But my favorite is still, "Stressed is just desserts spelled backwards." Oh, and I also like, "My idea of a balanced diet is holding a cupcake in each hand." My personal relationship with dessert has always been rather complicated. Like most kids, I love dessert. But I kind of swore off desserts as an adult, trying to control my weight. However, I can distinctly remember my mother made what I always thought was the best chocolate cake in the entire world. And let's be clear, I've said this before, my mother was not a great cook. In fact, my mother did not enjoy cooking at all. My dad was the passionate cook in our house, but he didn't have time to do it on a regular basis. He was working too hard as a banker. He was a member of the Army Reserve on the weekends. So my mother begrudgingly assumed the role of chief cook in our home, even though she didn't like it. But as I said, her chocolate cake was always one of my favorites. Oh, she didn't do anything special. It certainly wasn't made from scratch. I mean, she just used a Betty Crocker cake mix and pre-made chocolate icing. But I always thought it was great. My mother dutifully instructed my wife how to make it, and Cindy has baked chocolate cakes for me several times a year over the entire lifetime of our marriage. And I still love it just as much as I did when I was a kid. Seriously, I've never had chocolate cake in a restaurant that I thought even remotely approached the taste of that Betty Crocker recipe. It's funny how many of our best childhood memories revolve around food, isn't it? But another one of my favorite desserts is key lime pie. So I looked up a recipe for key lime pie, and you know, it doesn't appear to be all that hard to make. According to this recipe I got online, you beat 5 egg yolks, just the yolks, not the egg whites. Add in a 14-ounce can of sweetened condensed milk and a half cup of key lime juice and mix it well. Or as Jim Bob used to say every Christmas when he'd make rum cake on the radio, "Wix it, Mel." So anyway, you mix all that up real good. You pour it into a 9-inch graham cracker pie crust. Now, there are plenty of recipes for making your own graham cracker pie crust. But why ask for trouble? I mean, why not just buy a pre-made graham cracker pie crust and go on and live the rest of your life? Then you bake it in a preheated oven at 375 for 15 minutes. Let it cool at room temperature, not in the fridge. It congeals better at room temperature. And serve it with whipped cream, Cool Whip, a slice of lime if you like. But that's an online recipe for key lime pie. My recipe for key lime pie is much easier. It's two simple little words. Marie Callender. Marie Callender. So, today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is going to celebrate National Dessert Day. Like the old saying goes, no matter how much you eat, there's always room for dessert. Because dessert doesn't go to the stomach. Dessert goes to the heart.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Say hello now to our guest, Susan Molzan of Petite Suites in the Upper Kirby District. How are you, Susan?
I'm great today, thank you.
Introduce yourself to our audience. Give us your background. Where were you born? Where'd you grow up? How'd you get in the restaurant business?
Okay, well, I was born in Western New York State, outside of Buffalo, if you can imagine that. We're right on Lake Erie, and in a very small town. We didn't have any real restaurants or anything, so I really learned to bake and got interested in it from my mother, who was an unbelievable baker, a really great cook, and an even better entertainer. So I sort of learned everything, most of what I know from her. And that's kind of how I got interested.
How did she entertain?
She just was organized and always was trying new recipes, and she'd go and take cooking classes and just loved to be in the kitchen and loved to cook and loved to entertain, and everything was always, her tables were always beautiful, and her china and her silver and everything. It was just always a beautiful, fun thing that she did, and it kind of rubbed off on all of us kids, I guess.
See, when you said entertainer, I thought about singing and dancing.
No. That definitely was not her strong point.
Susan, you were trained professionally, however, at the Culinary Institute of America, but what brought you to Houston, for crying out loud?
Well, because when we left the Culinary Institute of America, this is where the jobs were.
Ah.
And I had never been to Houston. I'd never really spent any time in this area. And we came here sight unseen, drove into Houston and my Pinto, and that's how we got here. And we've been here ever since, and that was 1981.
Name some of the eateries where you worked when you first moved here.
Well, when I first moved here, I went to work for Neiman Marcus, and I worked at their Galleria restaurant, which was at that time down on the first level called the Mariposa. And then they opened their Town and Country store, and I moved out there and managed their Zodiac room and a few other Fresh Market restaurant at the Town and Country store.
Later, you were co-owner of the iconic Ruggles Grill, where I have eaten many times. How did that come about?
You know, we were kind of in the market to look for something different, and we wanted to do something on our own, and Manfred, the gentleman that owned it at the time, just came up, and we had this opportunity, and we just fell into it.
And then you own the neighborhood favorite Ruggles Cafe Bakery in Rice Village.
Right.
Now, how many different desserts did you guys serve there?
I mean, on any given day, we could have up to 30 desserts, and that was sort of the highlight of coming in there. You know, we had them in a display case, and it was, people would come in just to look at the desserts and talk about them and show their friends or show their parents or whatever, and it was just, you know, it's always kind of been my passion. I love it. I think it's so much fun, and it's just such a great creative outlet for me, and I wouldn't do anything else. It's just fun for me.
So we assume that vast array of desserts inspired you to open Petite Suites. Tell us the story of that.
Well, I have a friend, his name is Lee Ellis, and we have been friends for 30 years. And he called me one day and he said, "Hey, do you want to open a dessert shop?" And I said, "No, not really. I think I've got my hands full." And he said, "Oh, come on." And I said, "Okay, well, what do you have in mind?" And he said, "Let's just do something different that nothing hasn't been done in Houston yet." And so we were kind of the first ones to do small desserts and the petite things that we're doing, and especially the French macarons that we're doing. Nobody at that time was doing them. So that's how he and I got into this together.
I'll admit, I'm a complete neophyte when it comes to fancy desserts. And our executive producer said Petite Suites was famous for its perfect French macaron. And I said, "Wait a minute, don't you mean macaroon?" And then he said, "Nope,
yeah,
two different things altogether. So explain, please."
Well, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I have never made an American macaroon because they're made with coconut, and I really don't like coconut. So I don't even really know how they're made, because I just shied away from them because I didn't like them. But a French macaron is made with aged egg whites and confectioner's sugar, and the main ingredient is an almond flour. So they're gluten-free. So you make this shell, and it's very time-consuming, and you pipe every one of them out, and then you individually fill them, and then you put them together like a little sandwich. And so they're difficult because it depends on how humid it is out, what the temperature in the kitchen is. There's so many factors that come into getting the right macaron. You know, when we first started doing it, I kept thinking, why isn't anybody doing this in Houston? Why isn't, you know, you see these shops in New York and in Paris, and there's just this display of macarons, and I couldn't figure out why nobody had jumped on that bandwagon. And then I started making them, and I completely understood it, because everything has to be just right to get the perfect macaron, and that's hard to control. But we've kind of got it down. We've been doing it for 6 years, and now, you know, we kind of have figured all that stuff out. So they work out pretty well most of the time, not always.
The Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is focused on desserts today because it is National Dessert Day in America. And as delicious and inviting as those macarons sound, they also sound pretty complicated. So let's move on to some of your other desserts. I like domino cake.
Uh-huh.
First of all, what is a domino cake and where did it get its name?
Well, a domino cake is a very dense chocolate cake, and it's got alternating layers of white and dark chocolate mousse, and then it's iced with a chocolate ganache. And actually, I had a little baker back in the 80s that showed up at my back door one day with groceries in his hand, and he asked me if he could wash dishes, and I said, sure. So I put him to work on the dish machine and watched him work, and he was so meticulous, I said, I can teach this guy to bake. And so I taught him how to bake because I saw how meticulous he was with every single job that he had, and he actually came up with that cake. I left one day, and I said, I want you to come up with a new cake for me, and I came back, and he had taken those three ingredients, put them together, and made this cake, and so we named it a domino cake because it was black and white.
Ah, now we see. And another dessert on the Petite Sweets menu is white chocolate bread pudding.
Yes.
Now, bread pudding sounds like it's really complicated for us amateurs. So explain how you make bread pudding.
Well, we take a French baguette and we slice it fairly thinly, and then we make a custard with eggs and cream and white chocolate, and then you pour that over the bread and let it soak into the bread for a little bit, and then we bake it in a water bath in a bain-marie, and so you get this really beautiful, smooth white chocolate custard with the French bread that's soft but a little bit crispy on the top, and we serve that warm with a scoop of our homemade Lee's Creamery vanilla bean ice cream, which is unbelievable, and a little bit of raspberry sauce with it. And it's been a Houston favorite for probably almost 30 years. I mean, it's just one of our signature desserts, and people love it.
You mentioned ice cream.
Yeah.
Ice cream is a Texas favorite, obviously.
It is.
So do you make your own ice cream at Petite Sweets?
We don't make it here at Petite Sweets, but our company owns Lee's Creamery, and so all the ice cream is made within the Cherry Pie Hospitality family. We have 24 flavors in store, but then we have another probably 50 flavors that are that we rotate in and out, and we have a lot of fun doing that with between the bake shop and the ice cream. We combine things a lot together so we can come up with some really unique flavors, and it's really fun.
My parents and grandparents love to make homemade ice cream. What's the secret to making good ice cream?
Oh gosh. I think the secret is really having top-notch ingredients. You know, we get all of our stuff is organic. The cream comes from a small dairy in, you know, outside of San Antonio, I think, and the eggs are farm fresh. And I think if you can get really high-quality ingredients, you can get a really high-quality ice cream. And Lee really likes his ice cream with a lot of fat in it, with a lot of butter fat in it. So it's really creamy and really delicious. And I don't think there's a better ice cream anywhere in Houston. It's unbelievable.
And as you said earlier, you offer all these desserts and several more at all of your restaurants. They all fall under the umbrella of the Cherry Pie Hospitality Group of Restaurants. Can you name them all, Susan?
Of course. We have State Fair, which is out in off I-10 near Gessner. We have Lee's Fried Chicken and Donuts, which is in the Heights. And we also have Pie Pizza in the Heights. And we just opened in April a restaurant called Starfish, which is also in the Heights and delicious. And we have Petite Sweets. So there's five of us.
Let's go back to Lee's Fried Chicken and Donuts
okay.
for just 1 minute. That's very intriguing to us here at the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Fried chicken and sweets together.
Uh-huh.
On the same plate, not as a dessert, but together. It seems to be a trendy combination these days. Why do you think that's so?
You know, I think if you take that savory from the chicken and that sweet from the donut and put them together, it doesn't sound like it should work, but it absolutely does. We do a sandwich over there that's two glazed donuts, and in between are the fried chicken tenders, and it is unbelievable. It's delicious. It doesn't sound like it should work, but let me tell you, it absolutely does. does.
Petite Suites, they're open 7 days a week, and they can cater special events.
Absolutely.
Donuts and fried chicken sound awfully good. Thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time, Susan. Let's do this again real soon, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoke and hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200. Or NewStarInc.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We are especially pleased to welcome Chef Philippe Verpillon of Brasserie du Parc. Hi, Philippe.
Hi, how are you?
Total transparency, I don't know anything about French. Okay, Philippe, so you feel free to correct my pronunciations or my mispronunciations as we go along, okay?
How are you doing? Good.
Ah, that's amazing. Let's hear about you first. Where were you born? Where were you reared? Where'd you go to school to be a chef? All of that kind of thing.
I'm from Cavaillon, Provence, which is a small city next to Avignon. Between Avignon and Aix-en-Provence, and so my background is pretty much I was born in the middle of food. My parents they used to have a very nice butcher shop with only high quality meat, poultry. They were doing charcuterie, saucisson, pâté, all that kind of stuff from my grandfather before. So they had the same store since 1934. And so basically, since I'm a kid, I'm in the middle of this. And, you know, when I was 6, 7, I was already, you know, helping my father doing little stuff because they were really busy too, you know. So that was the beginning, you know. And after, when I was 16, I decided to quit school and go to culinary school instead. So for 2 years in Avignon, actually. And after, when I was graduate, I begin to go to work for the best in France, you know? Mm-hmm. So finding the best restaurant all over France I could find. So basically all Michelin starred. So basically for 10 years between 18 to 28, I was, you know, training and learning in France, changing restaurant a year and a half. At the time, and, you know, traveling all around France, you know, to learn from different chefs. Because in France, I mean, you know, you go north, you go south, it's the way they cook food is a little different. So it was a lot of, knowledge to grab from those high-end chefs.
And then you came to the United States in San Diego originally, right?
Yes, yeah, so when I was 28. So, yeah, I came in San Diego in 98 till 2011. Which I so it was a, you know, it was an amazing experience in San Diego, one of the beautiful weather, very beautiful city, the best of California is probably right there. Then after I decided to move to Houston, and now we have two French restaurants in the city.
Well, before we talk about those restaurants, let's discuss what a great restaurant city Houston really is. Now, you've literally worked at some of the top restaurants all over the world. Talk just a moment about how you rate Houston in comparison to some of those other cities as a restaurant city.
I mean, which is, what about Houston? What's good about it is you have a lot of, you probably have all the food in the world. They have restaurant, so many different ethnicities, so it's just good the choice you have, you know.
Diversity.
Diversity, exactly. That's a word. It's amazing. You want Japanese, you want Chinese, you want Afghan food, you want Italian, French. You have it all, you know. Indian, of course, Hispanic. South American, I mean, it's all over, and it's just great. And there is a lot of really, 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 really good restaurants.
Brasserie du Parc is located on the ground floor of the landmark One Park Place. It overlooks Discovery Green. So tell us about Brasserie du Parc.
Basically, when we find this location, I mean, we love the location. The fact it was in front of this Discovery Green Park, as you mentioned, and I think is in right in the middle of the city, you know, as the epicenter. So putting like a brasserie, a French brasserie at that specific location, it made a lot of sense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when we begin to work on it and go for it.
So we understand there are several different areas of Brasserie du Parc. You have a 360-degree square bar as a centerpiece. Can you describe that bar area for us?
So you walk in and you get greeted, and you have this square bar, all copper, French picture frames, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you are in a French place when you step in. and we have a very, very, very good bar, spirit, liquor, cocktail program. That's it. And after, when you keep going, you enter this covered patio, so all comfortable for dining, AC, of course, you know, eat it. And you're overlooking the park or the street, which is great.
But you also have a traditional French crêperie. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you said it right. Yeah, so we have, also on the top of this, we have a crepe station, which you can see from this patio. It's on a corner from the side of the restaurant. If you're even outside of the restaurant, you can see us making crepes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's like in Paris, you know, you walk in and, you know, sometimes, oh, here there is a little crêperie here, you know. So we offer crepe. We offer crepe on the top of, you know, like a regular French menu.
So people who are strolling around Discovery Green can just kind of wander in and buy a crepe to take with them and eat in their hand as they walk around Discovery Green, right?
Correct.
Today is National Dessert Day, so guess what the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is talking about. We looked at Brasserie du Paris' dessert menu, and it's hard to know where to start, but you said that you wanted to talk about a special dessert that's been handed down through your family for years, a floating island dessert. Describe that for us.
Yes, so floating island, if you just, if you don't know it's a dessert, you can imagine a floating island, right? So it's an island floating in some kind of liquid, right? So
right.
Basically, it's it's a very old, old school French dessert, you know. I think for sure over 100 years old, probably more than that. I would say a couple of hundreds. So now we make it, of course, a little lighter, a little less sweet, a little less thick, you know, but the idea, the concept is exactly the same. And basically, when we were kids, you know, with my cousin, my family, when we were going to see my grandmother, she was always making this crazy good dessert. So basically, this dessert consists in a custard. So she was making basically vanilla custard, and on the top she was putting a soft meringue, drizzled with some caramel sauce and some kind of sliced almond, you know, toasted. So you have crunch, you have sweet, you have creaminess. It's just crazy good. Very, very comforting.
Nothing could be more Texan than pecan pie. So let's go back to Brasserie du Paris' dessert menu and have you describe for us how you make your namesake menu item, Philippe's Bourbon Vanilla Pecan Pie.
So basically, it's... I mean, this pie, to be honest, it has a lot of success here. I mean, we make this pie very thick or very tall, I would say, you know.
Uh-huh.
So there is a lot of texture to it. So we have a very nice recipe, a dough recipe. So that's the first steps. Then we have a lot of inside is kind of creamy. With bourbon vanilla flavor, of course, and the top is pecan, but it's taller than the average pecan pie. You can see we can be a little sticky, you know.
Uh-huh.
This one is just has some crunch, but it melts in your mouth with a lot of flavor.
A quick count of the items on the dessert menu at Brasserie du Paris adds up to 10, for crying out loud. So if you can't get your sugar fix at Brasserie du Paris, you need professional help. And the professional from whom you should seek all your help has been our guest today on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, Chef Philippe Verpillon of Brasserie du Paris on the ground floor of One Park Place overlooking Discovery Green downtown. Just for the record, Chef Philippe is one of only 3 master chefs of France currently working in the state of Texas. Brasserie du Paris. Thank you for your time, Philippe, and thanks for your help with all those French words I can't pronounce.
No, merci for having me, okay, today on the show.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market. Just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
Well, look who's here. It's the guy who never fails to make me laugh, my old radio buddy from our days together on the Hudson and Harrigan Show, Fred Olson. How you doing, pal?
Man, I feel so blessed today.
Well, good. I started the show by talking about the J.J. Watt story, so let's go ahead and get this out of the way right now. What's your take?
What a wonderful man. What a selfless warrior he's been. And if he's done, he might be done. Who knows? But knowing him and his kind of drive, his motor, that man will not slow down. He'll do his best to come back. But, you know, he's been everything for this city. He's been just wonderful. And he's got his money. And if he's done, God bless him. And if he's not, God bless him again. But we're going to miss him and Merciless. Wow.
Yeah, I think Merciless is kind of getting lost in the shuffle in all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you realize how good we did last year when J.J. was on the sideline. Merciless was a big part of that pass rush and run stopping, but he'll be back.
I think he will, too, because this is a guy who trained so hard. I can't help but believe that he's going to jump back in there and do his best to get back on the field. But you may be right. He may be done. I don't know.
I certainly hope not. But, you know, he'll do something in football or I don't know, I just see good things for him.
Well, I hesitate to say that losing J.J. is a death knell for the Texans, but it ain't good news, is it?
Well, you know, you think about the gold and all this, and we have a quarterback.
No doubt.
You look at people, I was watching the Bears the other night, and Trubisky did a good job, and it's rare that you find a rookie who can actually do it. And it's rare. The Bears have never had, have they ever had a franchise quarterback, really? I mean, since the 40s or something?
Yeah, right.
And you think how many teams have never really had a franchise quarterback? Mm-hmm. I mean, never get another one.
And you know, I don't know whether you noticed this or not, the New York Giants lost Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall, and Sterling Shepard, their top three wide receivers last weekend. But I would argue that J.J. Watt's better than all three of those guys.
You know, I think you're right, but it's the NFL, it's football. You're always one hit away from mediocre.
Yep. What do you think of the way Bill O'Brien's handling Deshaun Watson?
I love it. I think he's letting the kid teach him, too. And he's going, how did you used to do this at Clemson, and how do you do this? And I think he realizes he has the kind of player he's always wanted, somebody who's more fleet of foot than Tom Brady, who's a good analyst, who loves the game, who's humble, who's a good leader. I mean, come on, those are great attributes.
And Will Fuller, he returned with a vengeance, 4 touchdowns in 2 games. Who would have thought we'd be sitting around here talking about more good things on offense than defense at this point in the season?
It just shows you. It's the NFL, and as good as the Chiefs are, I mean, they're one hit away. Everybody is, you know, except the doggone Patriots, the evil empire. They always seem to come back.
I don't know. I think they look a little weaker than in years past. They look a little more vulnerable.
Yeah, their defense is suspect, but they seem to find a way. It's the Darth Vader, Bill Belichick, who seems to. He's brilliant. Let's face it, he's brilliant. I would want him on my team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be years ago, Danny Ainge played for the Celtics.
Yep.
He just hated him.
Yep.
But if he was on your team, he'd be okay.
I can see Bill Belichick turning to Tom Brady and saying, I am your father.
I am your father.
That's better. Yeah, of course you would do it better. Well, let's talk about something a little more uplifting, like those Astros.
Oh, man. Isn't this fun watching the Astros in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I haven't been able to watch them all season because Dish doesn't have them. And so, I mean, I'm like this kid in a candy store, and I go, God, these guys are good. I'm watching, you know, all these guys coming up. I'm going, they're good.
Well, if Jose Altuve doesn't win the American League MVP, they ought to just abolish the award. And you and I have loved the Astros for decades. We watched some really good teams over the years in the 80s, the Killer Bees. But I think these guys may be better than all of them.
And they're kind of unsung. They're all good. You know, there isn't just a couple. There's a few who stand out, but they're all really good. And Altuve, well, he was one of the first acquisitions when they started playing Moneyball. And he was a lot of fun to watch when I could see him. But he's turned into like the new toy cannon.
And I wanted to talk about the Rockets, but we'll save that for next week. Needless to say, it's a good time to be a Houston sports fan, huh?
Oh, man. Despite all the setbacks, but hey, that's sports. At least, you know, we have a Deshaun Watson, and we have a hero like a J.J. Watt, and we have an Altuve, and yeah, compared to most cities in America, we're doing pretty good.
And it's also a good time to talk food, but when is it not? Today is National Dessert Day, so the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is all about the sugar. What are your favorites, Fred?
If I was in a restaurant and they bring that tray of sugar that I don't need,
yes,
there's always one dessert that I always look at them, do you have key lime pie?
Yeah.
And a lot of times they do. A lot of times they don't make it very well, but I love key lime pie. And Beverly has gotten great at making it. I think she's got Mamie Elmendorf's famous recipe. And it's, you know what it is?
No, tell me.
It's a banana key lime pie.
Oh, what?
Yeah, before you go, oh my God. Bev will do the crust, you know, that graham cracker kind of crust. And on the bottom, she'll do a layer of sliced banana along the bottom. And then you add the key lime. It mellows it. It gives them a deeper flavor. I don't know what it does, but we don't eat a ton of sugar anymore like I used to. But something like that, I simply cannot say no.
Can you give us the recipe, or is that strictly Bev's purview?
She could tell you in about 2 seconds what it is. I would just find a great key lime pie recipe. Use real key lime and not a mix. But try the little sliced banana on the bottom. It'll blow your mind. It's great.
And what else do you like for dessert? I know you don't eat many of them, but what else do you really like for dessert?
When I was a little kid, my parents off and on had little mom-and-pop restaurants. And you try to have a little bit of everything. You try to have a steak, try to have a hamburger, or whatever, Blue Plate special. But they always had these big tubs of ice cream, those old kind of 5-gallon ones.
Mm-hmm.
And we always had a cooler, and malted milks were big in those days. But what I loved was when the scoop would only go so far down into those big 5-gallon tubs, it couldn't quite get that bottom ring because it was round.
Yeah.
And the ring was like a corner.
Uh-huh.
They would hand me that and a big spoon, and I could go outside and sit. And I'd eat what was left at the bottom of those huge 5-gallon deals. And it was generally Neapolitan was big back in the 50s and early 60s.
Yeah, that's
60s.
Three different flavors, right?
Yeah, it was strawberry, chocolate, vanilla.
Yeah.
So I would come out of there, man, looking like a mess. I'd have it all over me. But that was my first recollection. And since then, I love, if we have a get-together, Beth said, what do we have for dessert? And I said, let's just do ice cream bar, where you bring out the ice cream I love caramel on ice cream, and chopped pecans or walnuts, and then some people like chocolate, Hershey's chocolate on it.
Yes.
So just lay that, let people make their own. And kids, and adults become kids when they're around that much ice cream. So it's always fun to watch, see what people like. I never grew up liking, the big banana splits where they have the three different kinds of toppings on it.
And
the banana and all. I didn't like that. But I just like straight up ice cream, pecans, a little bit of chocolate, and some caramel sauce on it. That's awesome.
Do you and Bev have an ice cream maker so you can make ice cream at home?
You know, we don't, but we have friends who bring it occasionally, and they'll do like homemade peach ice cream.
Uh-huh.
But we thought about it for the grandkids. Why don't we just get a little cheap one? And, they're only this big. They're not going to eat tons of it. Yeah, just enough to make a gallon or a half gallon at a time. And because the grandkids love ice cream.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, all kids love ice cream.
I hope so.
That and what my grandchild likes to call donut bread.
Donut bread? He's right.
Yeah, well, the first time he had it, he said, this is like bread with lots of sugar. So he calls it donut bread.
Oh, goodness.
Well, I know you like those nuts and all that caramel and chocolate sauce and all of that, but personally, I don't want anything to screw up a perfectly good bowl of ice cream. Just that and that alone is the way I like to eat it. But I don't eat it very much, I must admit.
Well, it's good. It's a fun treat every once in a while, because if I had it all the time, I don't appreciate it quite as much.
Right.
And but occasionally I go, tonight, 1,000 calories. Let's go.
Well, it makes sense that I wouldn't like nuts, because I'm that way about candy bars, too. Give me a Three Musketeers or a Mounds, but no Almond Joy. No nuts with my sweets. I'm nuts enough already, I guess.
Well, that's true. Oh, yeah, I love nuts. I love pistachios and, like, almonds, walnuts, pecans. I love them all.
Oh, well, I do, too. It's just I don't want them with my ice cream. That's all.
Ooh, got to have a crunch.
Well, it's that time of day. Ask me, what time of day is it, Randy?
What kind of day is that?
It's the time of day when, if I have dessert for breakfast and no one else in the house is awake to see it, did it really happen?
No.
Beignets or donuts this morning, Fred?
Beignets.
Love to Bev. Talk to you next week, pal.
Love to Cindy. Same to you.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
I was about cooking something up with me.